Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on the seventh day of October 2016. Greetings to those that are on the phone, those listening to the recording, and praise God for bringing us all back together in fellowship and in being able to join together in singing the praises of our God, speaking about His loving kindness and mercy to each one of us, as well as digging into His words of inspiration, that we might be able to grow more into the knowledge of the truth and into the character of our God. So welcome, dear ones. It's good to be back in fellowship with you. And have an announcement to make. This next Sabbath, which will be the 15th of October, we're going to take a break from our series on the scenario of events in the last days, and we're going to have foot washing and communion. This next Sabbath, the 15th, is going to be our 200th church service. And I thought it'd be very fitting to have foot washing and communion to praise our God for allowing us to continue as a home church fellowship for so long. Praise His holy name for making it all possible. So next Sabbath, October 15, we're going to be having foot washing and communion. And those that need the recipe for the unleavened bread, please email me, and I'll be happy to send that to you in an email. There's actually three different recipes you can choose from. But please come prepared, and it'll be a wonderful high Sabbath of fellowship together. I'll go ahead and make an announcement tomorrow as well. Question in the room says, do you have a gluten-free recipe? And no, I do not. That I have not heard of. I know it's possible, but I have not a recipe for that. So we're, again, looking forward to our meeting tonight with you all, and thank you so much for fellowshipping together. Our opening song is There Shall Be Showers of Blessings. And our dear brother James will lead us out.
Thank you, bro. And congratulations. Praise the Lord. 200th service. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us appalling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. We do indeed plead for God to pour out the Holy Spirit and bring showers of blessings to each one of us. Thank you, dear brother. It's now time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Jean will offer that for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, this evening as we meet together, we are pleading for thy showers. We need thy blessing. We need thy help and guidance. We also need thy healing hand. You know who among us are the sick and afflicted. We ask for thy care and protection. We ask especially that thou wilt help us during the meeting, that we will understand what we are going over, that we will gain a blessing that we can share with others. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And please pet your cat for me. We're continuing in our study book of Patriarchs and Prophets. And you can find the study book on our website at lightministries.com/ID818.htm. And this is chapter 30 that's titled The Tabernacle and Its Services. And we left off last time just below the top of page 352 at the paragraph that begins, No Mortal Eye. And the last thing that we were talking about last Friday evening was that the sanctuary and the ministration of the priest and the services there was an example or a shadow of what was taking place in the heavenly sanctuary. So this meant that all that was taking place there with the earthly tabernacle and its services was of extreme importance because it pointed to what was occurring in the sanctuary above. And the earthly sanctuary consisted of two different divisions. There was two apartments, and there was also two different divisions of the priesthood services. There was a daily division of the services, and then there was a yearly service. And the daily took place in the first apartment, and the yearly took place also in the second apartment. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. No mortal eye but that of the high priest was to look upon the inner apartment of the sanctuary. Only once a year could the priest enter there, and that after the most careful and solemn preparation. With trembling, he went in before God, and the people in reverent silence awaited his return, their hearts uplifted in earnest prayer for the divine blessing. So on the Day of Atonement, it was not just the high priest that was involved in this Day of Atonement. but all of the Israelites were to be involved as well. So as we're now in the antitypical Day of Atonement, where our great high priest Jesus Christ is ministering in the most holy place, making atonement for each one of his people, we should also be participating in this time with our hearts uplifted in earnest prayer for the divine blessing of forgiveness and removing of our sins forever. So it's not a time that we should be carefree. It's a time of solemn importance of preparation, making sure that all our sins have been confessed so that Christ may forgive them. And we need to make sure that we then forsake our confessed sins. Because once Christ finishes his intercession, there is no more forgiveness of sins that are committed past that point. So this is a time of waiting, watching, preparation, working, and also putting away of sin, and learning how, through the grace and strength of Christ, to live without sin. And that takes practice. If we don't practice it now, it will be too late to do so once probation closes. So the high priest, with trembling, went in before God, and the people, in reverent silence, awaited his return. Remember, we talked about the bells that were on the bottom of the high priest's garment. And so the people could hear and pretty much follow where he was, and then imagine what part of the service that their high priest was performing. They could hear him go in through the door into the first apartment. They could hear him go into the second apartment. They could also hear him come out of the second apartment. And when he did so, the atonement was completed. So in reverent silence, they were awaiting his return to know that the atonement had been made and God had accepted it. Continuing. Before the mercy seat, the high priest made the atonement for Israel, and in the cloud of glory, God met with him. His stay here beyond the accustomed time filled them with fear, lest because of their sins or his own, he had been slain by the glory of the Lord. So if the high priest took too long beyond the accustomed time, then the Israelites began to worry that something went wrong. They began to worry that it was because of their sins that it was taking longer than normal. And dear ones, it's the same today. How long has our great high priest, Jesus Christ, been in the second apartment on this antitypical Day of Atonement? How long has he already been there? When did he first go into that second apartment? Amen. In 1844, specifically October 22, 1844. So he's been there over 170 years. That's longer than he should have been. We're told in Volume 4 of the Spirit of Prophecy that shortly after 1844, Christ could have come for his people. She again says shortly after 1890, Christ could have come. Shortly after 1900, Christ could have come. Why are we still here? Amen. Comment in the room. We are not yet ready. So then it's because of our sins that Christ's ministration has gone longer than it should have. And it's in mercy that Christ has delayed his coming so that we have extra time to get ready. But there's coming a time in which, ready or not, probation will close and Christ will come. I pray that none of us delay during this probationary time to get ourselves ready, because we may just be passed by, as were those foolish virgins, and the door of probation will close upon them, and it's too late. Some of the most solemn words and the most sorrowful words found in the scriptures is Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. So let us not delay to get ourselves ready. Let us not be presumptuous on the Lord's mercy and long-suffering and think that we can put off preparation for another year or another month or even another week. We need to get ready now, because today is the day of our salvation. Tomorrow may be too late, dear ones. Even though probation for the world may not be over tomorrow, our individual probation may be. So our Savior has been ministering in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary for decades longer than he needed to. And the reason is because his people are not yet ready. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we move to the next paragraph? Please feel free.
Hello, Blessed Sabbath. How's everyone today? A lot of times, people don't realize that this is a life and death situation. The reason why I say that is because in going to heaven, in getting to heaven, you can't take anything with you. Nothing of value can you take with you. Only your character. Now, if you remember, if you see like how in the ancient times, how when a pharaoh passes away, they filled up his chambers with all of his gold and his possessions, his wives, his children, whatever he has of value. You know, and even ancient emperors, you know, in China, they have like these huge, gigantic cocoons that they build, and they have it decked out with different rooms where when the emperor passed away, all of his treasures and everything, so that it can go with them to be with them in the afterlife. But according to the Bible, there's no such thing. We remain asleep in our grave until Christ comes. We are on probation. We have until from the time we are born to the time we die to get our life right with Christ. No more, no less. And the thing is that at the time when you die, you don't know. It is unknown. And it's uncertain, which means you don't know when your deadline is coming up. All you have is today, 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 today. You can't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. And today is self-maintenance. I remember when I was being home taught and Mommy used to read to us, before we go to bed, and she used to read us out of Ellen White. Now, I can't remember where she read it, but I do remember that it was read. That at the end of the day, all the things that was done during that day to remember what it is that we have to ask for forgiveness for. So that when we close our eyes, it would already been confessed and repented. And I say those two things because it's not the same. As was mentioned also in Steps to Christ, repentance and confession, there's chapters on those. But the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind before you go to bed. Because tomorrow is a promise for anyone. I'm talking about giving the gospel and getting our lives right with Christ. It's a life and death situation. It is detrimental to your soul, to your whole being, to you and your life existence. Because as the Bible mentions, our life is like a blade of grass. One day you're here, the next day you go.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Continuing. The daily service consisted of the morning and evening burnt offering. The offering of sweet incense on the golden altar, and the special offerings for individual sins. And there were also offerings for Sabbaths, new moons, and special feasts. Every morning and evening, a lamb of a year old was burned upon the altar with its appropriate meat offering, thus symbolizing the daily consecration of the nation to Jehovah, and their constant dependence upon the atoning blood of Christ. God expressly directed that every offering presented for the service of the sanctuary should be without blemish. Exodus 12:5. The priests were to examine all animals brought as a sacrifice and were to reject every one at which a defect was discovered. Only an offering without blemish could be a symbol of his perfect purity, who was to offer himself as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. The Apostle Paul points to these sacrifices as an illustration of what the followers of Christ are to become. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12:1. We are to give ourselves to the service of God, and we should seek to make the offering as nearly perfect as possible. God will not be pleased with anything less than the best we can offer. Those who love him with all the heart will desire to give him the best service of the life, and they will be constantly seeking to bring every power of their being into harmony with the laws that will promote their ability to do his will. And those laws include the 8 laws of health. So those who love God with all their heart will desire to give him the best service of their life, and thus they will be constantly seeking to bring every power of their being into harmony with the laws of nature. And thus, by following these 8 laws of health, they will be able to have that increased strength, mental discernment and power and clarity of thought, and thus a greater willpower to do better service for God. Anything less than that is not as good and perfect of an offering as we can make it. So God desires a whole heart, not half a heart, not part of a heart, the whole heart. We cannot serve two masters. It's either God or it's the devil. May we indeed choose to love God and give him our entire heart, that we may be devoted to him, body, soul, and spirit, and thus give him the best offering that we possibly can in service. So that dealt with the sacrifices and the offerings. Continuing. In the offering of incense, the priest was brought more directly into the presence of God than in any other act of the daily ministration. As the inner veil of the sanctuary did not extend to the top of the building, the glory of God, which was manifested above the mercy seat, was partially visible from the first apartment. And if you remember, the walls of the tabernacle there within the first and the second apartment was gold-plated. It was overlaid with gold. And so this glory of God that shone over the top of the veil or the door into the second apartment would be reflected and refracted off of, not refracted, but reflected off of the gold covered panels of the first apartment. And it must have been beautiful to behold. Continuing. When the priest offered incense before the Lord, he looked toward the ark, and as the cloud of incense arose, the divine glory descended upon the mercy seat and filled the most holy place, and often so filled both apartments that the priest was obliged to retire to the door of the tabernacle. What was so important with this incense that would cause God to specifically descend upon the mercy seat and fill the most holy place with his glory, and sometimes so fill it that it extended by reflection off of the gold-plated walls, extended so brilliantly into the first apartment that the priest had to back up to the door? What was of so significance with this incense that God would do that? Any ideas? Okay, a comment in the room says, God was pleased with the prayers. Okay, so the prayers would be ascending with the incense. Okay, all right. Any other thoughts?
Sorry, I was just asking if you could just repeat the question once more.
As the paragraph mentioned, that as the priest went in to offer incense before the Lord, that when the cloud of incense arose, the divine glory of God descended upon the mercy seat and filled the most holy place, and often it filled also the first apartment, so that the priest was obliged to go to the door of the tabernacle because it was so brilliant in the first apartment. So then, because of this incense, God specifically descended upon the mercy seat, and his glory filled the most holy place. Why? Why was God so interested in this incense as to do this? That's the question.
You know, I remember reading in the Bible where it says, whenever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And when his people calls him, he'll come. He'll come to them and he'll answer our prayers. Whereas the incense represents the prayers. The incense represents the prayers that ascend into heaven. But what I do know also is that this particular incense that was burning in the sanctuary was forbidden to be burnt anywhere else other than in the sanctuary, because of what it represents. So I guess I would have to say, it's like it draws the Holy Spirit nigh. Our prayers, it brings us closer to the Father and draws His Spirit towards us. As we call upon Him and ask Him to cleanse us from our sins, perhaps this is the reason.
Okay, thank you. Some other comments there says, the incense represented the prayers of the people together with the Holy Spirit. Another comment is, the people's prayers were sincerely sent with contrite hearts. Okay. The incense represented not the prayers of the people, but it represented the righteousness of Christ. And as the incense rose up and came in before God, so the prayers of Christ's people would intermingle with the righteousness of Christ and be accepted by God. We're of a fallen nature. Everything we do is contaminated with self. So our prayers that are offered to God are contaminated. God can't hear them in a contaminated state. They have to be cleansed. That's where Christ's righteousness comes in. As our high priest, he takes our prayers, he purifies them from all selfishness, and they ascend up to God mingled with his righteousness, and God hears them. He loves to hear the prayers of his people, but he can't hear anything contaminated by selfishness. So even though we may offer the most sincere, selfless prayers possible, yet they come from contaminated lips, from fallen, human, sinful natures. So even though God longs and comes close to want to hear our prayers, he can't without mediation and cleansing that Christ provides. Christ is our high priest. That cloud of incense represents his righteousness, cleansing our prayers and allowing them to come to God, who is eager to hear, to answer them, because he loves us. It's so beautiful, dear ones, in recognizing that. So the incense itself is not our prayers. Our prayers ascend in the incense. And that incense represents the righteousness of Christ that has cleansed our prayers and enabled them to come before the Father, who is anxious to hear the petitions of his children. What a merciful Father we have. And what a compassionate Savior we have to make it possible for us to be connected with our Father and He with us. So as the priest came forth and offered incense there at the altar of incense, and that cloud of incense rose up and went over the top of the veil there, separating the first and the second apartment, and came down to the Ark of the Covenant. God's divine glory descended upon the mercy seat, signifying that he would indeed have mercy upon his children, and that he would hear and answer their prayers according to his perfect will. And he's still the same Father today, dear ones. Continuing. As in that typical service, the priest looked by faith to the mercy seat, which he could not see. So the people of God are now to direct their prayers to Christ, their great high priest, who, unseen by human vision, is pleading in their behalf in the sanctuary above. The incense, ascending with the prayers of Israel, represents the merits and intercession of Christ, his perfect righteousness, which through faith is imputed to his people, and which can alone make the worship of sinful beings acceptable to God. The plan of salvation is perfect in every aspect to provide for us forgiveness, cleansing, righteousness, and salvation. It's perfect. It's by faith, dear ones, that we recognize that our Father, through Christ's merits and righteousness and intercession, hears our prayers and answers them according to his perfect will. There's a comment in the room that says, I read somewhere in the Bible that there is a crown of righteousness. Can a crown represent righteousness too? Yes. The crown of righteousness is granted to the victor who finishes the race. And anyone can finish that gospel race through Jesus Christ. So through faith, Christ imputes his righteousness on our account. He purifies our prayers so that the Father can hear them and answer them. But Christ is not the only intercessor that's connected with our prayers. Did you know there's another intercessor? Amen. The Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 talks about the Holy Spirit indicting our prayers and pleading before God the Father the things we know not how to pray. So Christ takes our prayers that we speak from the heart, whether in audible words through our voice or just in our mind. He takes those prayers and purifies them by his righteousness. But the Holy Spirit indicts that prayer if we ask him to, and he adds onto it the things we should have asked for, but maybe don't realize we need. Or perhaps we did not know how to phrase it correctly. So in the aspect of prayer, we have two intercessors. And that means whatever we need, God will hear and grant it according to his perfect will, even if we did not ask for it. Again, dear ones, even a child can be saved and used of God in a mighty way, even though they don't understand all aspects of the present truth. Even a full-grown adult that has newly come into the faith, or perhaps has been in the faith for a while, can be saved to the full, because the Holy Spirit also is interceding in their behalf before the Father and is pleading for the Father to give them everything necessary for their salvation, even though they don't recognize it. So So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth shall be saved. Everything that is possible is provided for each one of us, adults and children, that we might become like God in character. So it's wonderful, dear ones. The more you dig into the subject of the plan of salvation, the sanctuary, God's interceding, the work that is going on for our justification and sanctification, the more you recognize the grandeur, the majesty of our Godhead and all that they are doing in order to make it possible for fallen human beings to be redeemed and to be saved forevermore. There's a comment in the room. It says, does the Holy Spirit know the beginning from the end just as God does? And I would say yes. Hebrews 9:27, I believe it is, talks about the Spirit being eternal. And since we know that the Holy Spirit is a God, not God the Father and not God the Son, but is a God himself, part of the attributes of God is omniscience, is omnipresence, and is all-knowing. Paul also mentions in Romans that the Spirit knows the mind of
God. I'd like to share a comment, and I've learned many of these things before in my studies about the cross and its shadow. In paragraph 2 of page 69, it said, in the typical service, the one who realized he was a sinner must bring a lamb for a sin offering. The priest cannot officiate for him without this sin offering. That entire service was but a great kindergarten lesson, making the way of salvation so simple that none could fail to comprehend it. When we realize that we have sinned, we remember our Lamb, confess our sins, and in His name they are forgiven. Then He officiates as High Priest in our behalf before the Father. He pleads the merits of His blood and covers our life stained with sin with the robe of His spotless righteousness, and we stand before the Father accepted in the Beloved. How can we fail to love Him who offered His life for us? Christ has saved His Father. Therefore, do my Father love me because I lay down my life? Even the infinite love of the Father for a Son was increased by that act. There's also the last paragraph of this chapter. It said, when Christ stands upon the sea of glass and places the glittering crown upon the heads of the company, all travel the road made sacred by the footprints of their foreigner. Albeit with faltering steps and through fallen tears who are clad in robes made white in the blood of the Lamb, he will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He will rejoice over them and sing. And all heaven will ring in melody as the angels who serve under the commander of the working in souls join and sing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Indeed, that will come. But amongst in the sanctuary, in the earthly sanctuary, not only the high priest, but also common priest officiated. But because it was impossible for man to perform all the work, but required the work performed by all the priests in the typical services to represent the work of a high priest, The work of 1 year was taken as a type of the entire work of a high priest. During the year, the priests, plural, both high and common, went always into the first tabernacle. Accomplishing the service of God. This continued all year except one day. On that day, the service changed into the second appointment when the high priests were alone, not without blood, which offers up for the heirs of the people. These priests served to the example of shadow of heavenly things. When Christ entered heaven, he went as the antitype of the earthly service, God ordained, and entered upon his work within the first veil of the heavenly sanctuary. When the typical work ordained by God in the first apartment of the earthly sanctuary had fully met its antitype, he passed through the second veil into the glorious apartment of the typical holies. Holy of Holies. There is to perform the marvelous service which will end the blind untold destruction of the sins of the righteous, never more to be remembered by the redeemed host nor by God himself. Well, that is all I can share for now. thank you.
Thank you, dear brother Josh. And indeed, Christ's sacrifice and mediation for the people of God is an exhaustless theme. But it is so beautiful to take the time to study into it and to learn and understand that the way of God, his character, is seen in the sanctuary. So the incense ascending with the prayers of Israel represents the merits and intercession of Christ, his perfect righteousness, which through faith is imputed to his people, and which can alone make the worship of sinful beings acceptable to God. Continuing. Before the veil of the most holy place was an altar of perpetual intercession. Before the holy, an altar of continual atonement. By blood and by incense, God was to be approached. Symbols pointing to the great mediator, through whom sinners may approach Jehovah, and through whom alone mercy and salvation can be granted to the repentant, believing soul. And praise God from whom all mercy flows to provide for us a full and complete salvation. Justification or forgiveness from all our past sins. And then grace and strength to live the sanctified life set apart from sin to be a follower of the Most High. A child of God. And all of this is made possible in this great and glorious plan of salvation that the sanctuary was revealing for God's people. To see more fully the sacrifice that God and his Son went through in order to show you and me their love. May we in turn show our love to them with wholehearted devotion to the God of our salvation. I think we'll go ahead and stop at this, the end of this paragraph, and we'll pick it up next time at the new paragraph as the priests morning and evening. Amen. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who?
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. I hope you can hear me. I live in the state of Florida. which right now is a state of confusion for many people through the storms that we just had, Matthew coming through us. I want to praise the Lord for keeping me safe once again. And I've been through several hurricanes that were horrific, but God has always protected me and my little house. Sister Lynn is without power, but she and her family are well. I'm surprised that I can be on tonight, but that's only by the grace of God. That's why I've been popping in and out. And hopefully tomorrow, you know, by God's will, we'll be here so we can have service. But I just wanted to let everybody know that the people in Florida are in a horrific state, just like Haiti and everywhere else. But right now it's calming down. But people still are, there's thousands of people without power. There's thousands of people that are in a horrific situation over here. But I have got to always praise the Lord, because I live in, for most of you know, in a tiny little shack in the woods, and I have power. People, my sister Lynn lives 14 minutes from me. They haven't had power since between 6 and 8 o'clock this morning, and they don't know when they'll be restored. There's other houses that are, I have friends of mine that live in apartment complexes, and they've been out at least 12 hours. The local grocery stores have been closed since 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They had major curfews on the street up until tomorrow at 7 a.m. Some of them have been lifted in certain areas. But I have seen houses, if you look at the news, people's houses, their roof has been ripped off. Buildings have been falling apart. And I live in a 160-square-foot little cabin in the woods on several acres. And other than all the debris, and I'm talking about big branches and debris, once again, have fallen all around me. And by the grace of God, and only by the branch fell on my house, nothing. Just
amen. Amen, Sister Susan, and I'm glad that God took care of you, and He always will. I have a testimony today that one of my coworkers, I have been studying with her for a long time. And she mentioned something to me about her sister. Her sister lives in Florida too. And she's a cancer-free patient. She had cancer for a while, and the Lord helped her with it. So, but the interesting thing is that her sister called this my coworker that I've been working with, you know, talking to her about the Bible. She told me this. She said, Sheila, guess what happened? I went to the store, and I heard two ladies was talking about God and the hurricane. So she was concerned, because she lived in Florida. She was concerned, and she went home, and she got the Bible, and she was praying to God to, you know, to talk to her about, you know, whatever she was concerned about. And the Bible, you know, it parted to Matthew. And to Matthew chapter 10, and she saw verse 7. And then it says like this, and I went and looked for it. And it says this, it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the beautiful thing that she said, she didn't realize that we in October the 10th, I mean the 10th month, and it's the 7th. And talking about, it said, the hurricane is, the name is Matthew. So that was, you know, incredible. So I just wanted to share that today. Wow.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Excuse me, my voice is giving me a rather hard time today. It's great to be back with you, talking with you. We've been offline and on so much. And right now we're having data problems and we're dropping in and out. But Lord willing, I'll get through this. And if I don't get through it today, I'll finish it next week. What I want to do is show you a rather novel way of witnessing. not that I found, but that the Lord put in front of me, and I couldn't help but pick it up and run with it. The background of this, as you know, or many of you will know, that Brother James runs a stall at our Sunday markets where he gives away free CDs, DVDs, pamphlets, tracts, books and so on, many of which come from Elder Rob, but many of which he actually pays for, and he gives them away free, and has been quite successful. He always says it's our stall, but really I'm just the back room boy, girl maybe. I'm the back room girl, I don't do very much. But one of the things I was doing was making some signs to put up. And I bought some, from the hardware store, some balsa wood. You probably know that's a very, very light wood used for making model aeroplanes and things. And I had about half a dozen meter long strips of this balsa wood, and I went into a doctor's appointment. And the doctor said to me, "Oh, what do you have the balsa wood for?" So I said, "Well, James does this," and I explained in detail about the stall, the market stall, that he stops and gives things away, and I was making the signs for the stall, but I took the opportunity to talk at length about James's witnessing through that stall, and the fact that he only works half-time, or he does work half-time, so he can earn the money to buy the things to give away, and the rest of the week he spends on the Lord's work, and the doctor was very interested in that, and then that was great, and then I was trying to make another appointment, and I said, how about Thursday? "Oh, no, I don't come in on Thursdays. We'll make it Friday." And I said, "Well, that's difficult. Not impossible, but it's difficult because it's our Sabbath preparation day." And then away I went, told him about the Sabbath and the need to do the preparation beforehand. We cook on Friday and we wash up on Sunday, all that sort of thing. And he was most interested. And, you know, it was just like the path was laid out for me to rattle on for maybe about 10 minutes, a very long time, but he didn't try to hush me and give him all that information. And he was genuinely interested. And at the end, he said, "Well, I didn't think when I asked the question that I'd get an answer like that." And he sounded as though he was kind of going to ponder it. Unfortunately, I haven't seen him since. It's not bad luck to not have to go back to the doctor. But it would be nice if I could go back and kind of consolidate a bit and see if he remembers what I said. But I'm thinking if I want to witness to people, I just need to walk around with a couple of pieces of balsa wood in my hand, because a bus driver once asked me what I had it for, and I told him I didn't take 10 minutes because he was actually driving the bus. But, you know, that's a wonderful way to get people's interest, and then you can just say whatever you need to say. Tell them all they need to know if the Lord will direct you, and praise him. I believe he directed me. So thank you for listening, and what a blessing that I got right through without us dropping out. Bye-bye for now, then, and God bless.
Amen. And I just wanted to add, that's what led us to get a badge and a lanyard when we go to the swap meets. Just wear them so after it's over, you just wear them for the rest of the day, and people wonder, why is he wearing that, and what's that all about? It's so easy to talk.
That's a great idea, yes.
Amen. And that is a different way to witness. I've never heard of using balsa wood as an opening door to the gospel. But whatever works is great. As long as the word of God gets out there to the people. Is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any songs or requests? Any questions or comments on what we've discussed tonight, or perhaps on other subjects? Please feel free.
Yes, I have a song, and I just want to sing it before I go to bed. It's Joel 2. It's scripture. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For this is not a hand. Joel 2 verse 1, let all inhabitants tremble.
Amen, Mommy. I'm a tad bit hoarse, but the Bible study reminds me of a song I haven't sang in a while, but I will give it a try. People get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket.
It's okay, dear sister. Perhaps take the mic again and maybe the connection will be much more stable this time. So try it again.
Are you able to hear me now? Okay, good. Okay. People get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. There is no room. There is no room for the hopeless sinner who will hurt all things just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances get thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom throne. So people get ready, for the train's coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no tickets, you just thank the Lord. I can hear the sound of the train coming, a coming, a coming. I can hear the sound of the train coming. People get ready, it won't be long before the train's coming. Don't need no ticket to ride. I can hear the sound of the train coming. People get ready, it won't be long before the train's coming. Amen.
I like to see Mr. Gerson as well. It's called Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. There comes to my heart one sweet strain, a glad and a joyous refrain. I sing it again and again. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace. Wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Through Christ on the cross, peace was made. My debt by his death was all paid. No other foundation is laid. For peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace. Wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. When Jesus as Lord I had crowned, my heart with this peace did abound. In him the rich blessing I found. Sweet peace, the
gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. In Jesus for peace I abide, and as I keep close to this side, there's nothing but peace to betide. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace. Sweet peace from the gift of God's love. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother, for singing that beautiful hymn. Another hymn comes to mind, Hold Fast Till I Come. And those that would like to take a verse of this beautiful hymn, please feel free. Sweet promise is given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come. The danger is great. Sleep not as do others. Be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy. Sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I...
We'll watch on to prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all others, a thief in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day. As spring shows that summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting, hold fast till I come.
Yes, this is our hope, 'tis built on his word. The glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. Of promises all, it stands as the sum. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come. Indeed, endure until the end, and thou shalt receive that crown of life, awaiting the victors and the conquerors through Jesus Christ. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close with prayer? Please feel free. Well, may we bow our heads and our knees for closing prayer. Our dear beloved Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for making the plan of salvation and for allowing Jesus to carry it out in our behalf. Thank you, dear Savior, for indeed remaining sinless and perfect, and for fulfilling the plan of salvation and making it possible for each and every one of us to have eternal life through you. And we also thank you, dear Spirit, for making the truth of the gospel effectual in our lives, possible for us to live it, and to have it ingrained in our heart to where we would rather die than give up our love of the truth, our love of the Savior. Thank you, dear Godhead, for indeed making our salvation possible. And thank you that you are in control of all things. We also bring before thy throne, dear Father, all the prayer requests and petitions that have been offered here in this room and by thy people around the world. Thank you for hearing each one of these prayers, and thank you, dear Savior, for purifying them through thy precious blood, merits, and righteousness. And dear Spirit, we also ask that you will indict this prayer and plead before the Father the things we know not how to plead. And thank you so much for doing so, and dear Father, for hearing according to thy will. We also pray that you'll be with our dear brothers and sisters and others that are in harm's way from the hurricane that's named Matthew. And we thank you so very much for awakening them to see that you are a God that is near at hand and one that can help them in any time of need. And we thank you for curtailing the devil's efforts at destroying life by saving it instead. Thank you also for healing our dear sister Susan of the injuries that she suffered, and please continue to do so. And again, Father, thank you so very much that you are a God of love and compassion and not like the gods of the heathen. Thank you for thy love, and we love you too. And please be with us now as we part for a short time, and bring us back together again to receive more of the blessings that you have in store. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, may God bless, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Keep looking up and continue getting yourselves ready and prepared to meet the Lord in the clouds of heaven, never to part again. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. So God bless you.
Amen. I wanted to try to sing a song, but if the computer starts to act up, I would just put it off for another time. And so just for confirmation, are you able to hear me? Are you able to hear me now? It just cut me out and then brought me back in again. Okay, then perhaps I'll wait to sing the song tomorrow. Okay, everyone have a good night. Hugs and kisses. Mwah, mwah.